I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now. He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Moose right now.
That's from John DeCosta's Coffee House set of his theme songs. You ever see John in a coffee house playing the themes and everybody's drinking a coffee going, these are weird songs. I don't know what's going on here. I listen to Steve Harvey. At 7:13, Dr. Kevin Most in a special Tuesday edition. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. Good morning, Doc. How was your weekend?
Good morning, Steve. It was great. How about this weather?
Tremendous.
Fine. Finally, a great weekend.
Tremendous. And it's going to be a good week.
It is.
By the way, next week, Dr. Most and the fine people at Northwestern and CDH have a big golf outing blowout with some of the finest minds in medicine, and people who work in the medical industry are all getting together, and I'll be a part of that as well. I'll be parking cars.
Yeah, we are. We're looking forward to that, and really appreciate you and Andrea parking cars, so that works out well.
I didn't volunteer to park cars, but I guess I will.
So here's what we have, Doc. The entire staff is taking advantage of Dr. Kevin Most, the same way we take advantage of Lou Manfredini and any experts that we have. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we casually will ask Dr. Most how he's doing, and then we'll go, hey, by the way, since I got you, I've got this or that. So Doc finally said, look, why don't we put all your wines, well, he didn't say that, I said that. Why don't we put all of your ailments together, and then the listeners will certainly have some of these same conditions, and we can solve some of these things.
Love it.
Now, I've added a second layer to this, Doc.
Yeah.
Mary Vandeveld has the handwriting of a hostage who's been drugged. Mary Sandberg.
I was going to say, what?
Has the handwriting, this is why we call her Sandberg, too many Marys. I asked her to write out the ailments of everybody on the staff and to see if I could actually read what she wrote as we go through these. Mm-hmm. Because you guys, as doctors, you're accused of bad handwriting all the time.
That's why they're forcing us to use computers, yeah.
You guys were doing bad handwriting before bad handwriting was cool.
Correct.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with these in order and see if I can actually get to these. Now, one I can tell... Even though it looks like C-N-E-B, Seneb pain, I can tell it's knee pain. It's knee pain. All right, now first off, guess. Who has knee pain on the staff?
No, we're not going to guess.
Yeah, guess. Who has knee pain?
You.
No, I mean, I talk about it all the time. It's not me. I mean, yes, I do, but I didn't put that down as my ailment.
Well, the cost. The cost.
John, do you have knee pain?
Yes, that
this
would
is
be
you?
Me. Yes.
Congratulations, John. You've won nothing.
Thank you.
All right, Doc, let's talk about knee pain. What do we know? What do we need to know?
Yeah, so knee pain can be anything from very, very simple to just a sprain to something as bad as you see athletes get where they tear their ACL. The knee's a fairly complex joint because it really has to help us go upstairs, downstairs, walk on a level surface as well as unlevel surface. So it's very easy to strain your knee. You can twist, you twist an ankle pretty easily. You can also do the same with a knee. The big thing is to make sure that it's not something that needs to be surgically repaired. But we don't rush off and do an MRI on you by any means. The first thing we're going to do is do a good exam to make sure that you don't have any laxity or that we can move it more than we should. So we'll test all the ligaments and put some stress on those to see how much they move. And if that's okay, then we're going to put you on some anti-inflammatories, tell you to ice it after working out or running or doing anything like that. And then we're going to give you time. We'll put you on what we call a short leash. We'll give you about a month to see if that progresses. If it continues and stays, then we will go to that next step. X-rays really are fairly worthless because they show us bones only. So the next test that would probably be done would be an MRI to make sure that your ligaments are all intact. Also, you have things called bursas. People have probably heard, oh, grandma had bursitis. So a bursa is a fluid-filled sac that protects tendons from going over bones. And sometimes we can get an inflamed bursa in the knee as well. And for that, it's going to be ice, anti-inflammatories a little bit, but really it's going to be ice and some reconditioning of how you walk or how you run.
Well, if that's fluid, is that infected then?
No, it's not infected. People always think, oh, my gosh, look at this big red ball here, what it's got to be an infection, put me on antibiotics. the sac is completely enclosed, so the chance of bacteria getting in there is very low unless you got it punctured. So people really don't, they all want antibiotics, but really they don't need it. They really need ice and anti-inflammatory.
So your low swollen sac is not infected. If we've learned one thing on this show, I think we can take that away today. Sandberg?
I don't know about the what this says about the age and health of the group of the show, but about half of you said knee pain when I asked for your ailment.
I believe Seneb pain is what we all have. Yes. All right, so we all have knee pain. Why does it hurt more going downstairs?
Yeah, people think about the strain of the knee. Is it worse going up or going down? And it's actually worse going down. It's because of the weight and the position of your body as you're going down. You're putting a lot more strain on that. When you're going up a stair, you're more up and down, so the positioning of your body is better and much more safe. So going downhill, even running downhill, is much worse for you than running uphill.
So that weight-bearing part of it, I guess, right?
Absolutely. It's all body mechanics and your position as you go down.
All right, again, based solely on Sandberg's handwriting, on Sandberg's handwriting, when we come back, we'll talk about fatigue, because I wrote that out. We'll also talk about accessories. Apparently somebody on the staff has accessories.
That's not what
that
says.
What is that?
Perry Mary daughter. Somebody has a Perry Mary daughter.
I hate Perry Mary daughter.
Yes. And somebody has swelling in their nest. They have nest swelling. This is all handwriting from Sandberg, the producer of the program. We should just attach a keyboard to her. She should never be allowed to write a handwritten note ever. Can you imagine if she needed help?
Like, you know,
if she had to handwrite help, we'd go, what? What are you saying?
You know, a little kid in the wintertime, they attach their mittens with the little clips.
Yeah, she we'll have a keyboard that hanging off her
keyboard wrist.
All right, first traffic.
You guys do realize that you're giving her that much abuse, she can mute you at any time.
Muting is not on the list currently. Unless that's one of these things and I can't read it.
Or mute.
Dr. Kevin Most, listening to the whines of the Steve Cochran Show staff. Let the whininess continue. All right, Doc, so here we go. I'm trying to read Sandberg's handwriting, producer of the program. And the only reason I know this one is because I was actually afflicted with this, and I whined about all my conditions on the air, so trying to find one I haven't already talked about wasn't easy. But at one point, I had tendonitis that I talked to you about. This looks like turdfitis. I don't think anyone has turdfitis. I mean, maybe, but what do we do about tendonitis?
Tendonitis. Tendons are materials that connect muscles to bone. So in order for a muscle to make a motion in a body, the muscle contracts and the tendon is attached to the two ends of the bone, and the muscle moves and it does what it's supposed to. Sometimes we'll get inflammation in the tendon, much more common than we even get inflammation in the muscle itself. So for that, it really depends on where it is. Sometimes compression around that, so an ACE wrap. Sometimes actually anti-inflammatories again in ice, anything to keep down the inflammation. And probably the biggest thing is you always heard the thing, well, it hurts when I do this. Well, then don't do that. Mm-hmm. You're going to need to rest that tendon because the continued motion of that muscle is going to keep that tendon inflamed. Tendonitis can stay with you for quite some time because of that fact, and it really depends where it is. You can have tendonitis in your arm, and if you are even picking up a cup of coffee, using those muscles can keeps that tendon inflamed. So ice, anti-inflammatories, and rest are going to be the biggest thing for tendonitis.
All right, everybody goes, you know, that starve of fever, feed a cold, starve of fever. We always get that backwards, but also the heat or the ice thing. So yep. What's heat good for? What's ice good for?
Yeah, so the first 24 hours of any injury is going to be ice. You want ice because that is going to minimize inflammation. The problem when we get, whether it's trauma or whatever, is that the area gets inflamed. And then what do? We take anti-inflammatories. So what we want to do is take ice to minimize the inflammation. The body sends fluid and inflammatory products to an area that's damaged or injured because it wants to protect it from getting injured again. So the chance of us injuring it twice in a row is very low, so we want to ice that down. After 24 hours, actually heat, warm water, warm soaks, hot showers, that actually increases the blood flow to that area and will bring the medication there sooner and also relieve some of the spasm. So Ice for the first 24 hours, and after that, some moist heat. Not heating pads. No one go to sleep with a heating pad on your back. Dry heat is terrible for your back and will cause more problems.
What about these heat patches and things that you know you can buy over the counter?
Yeah, some of them are okay. You know, the ones that you put in the microwave, you know, those rice pack things that you put in the microwave, those are good. Some of the patches that you can put on, as long as it's moist heat, they're going to do okay. But to be honest with you, just taking a towel, soaking it in warm water is going to do just as good as the fancy ones that you buy in the store.
All right. Yes, John. No, I was going to say two things. One, one of those heating things that I put in the microwave, be very careful. I ended up with 3 cups of popcorn. Two, how long are you icing?
I ice for 20 minutes on, okay. 10 minutes off, 20 minutes on.
Okay. One so, cycle yeah, of that. Just, 20, 10, yeah, 20.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, no, you can do 4, 5, 6 cycles throughout the day. You just don't want to sit there and, you know, I don't want you to go home and, you know, sit in an ice bath for, you know, an hour or so. No, just break it up a little bit so that at least the body gets to that area of the body gets back to normal temperature, gets regular blood flow.
All right, apparently somebody on the staff is suffering. Again, this is based on Sandberg, the producer's handwriting. Somebody has TBS. I don't know, TBS is they don't like the network. They don't like its programming.
No.
It's not TBS?
No, I believe it's IBS.
IBS!
Yes, and no, I am not suffering from that. I've just been watching a lot of young teenage girls that have been getting IBS lately. Have you noticed that, Doc? A lot have had gallbladders taken out, and there are a lot of athletes. What's the deal?
Yeah. And actually, it's kind of interesting, Mary. You know, IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, that's when your intestines cramp up and you get constipation, diarrhea, abdominal pain, bloating.
Again, it's not me.
Well, one thing.
Just want to make that clear.
Females are more likely to get it 2 to 1. So males rarely get it. And it's interesting that athletes will get it even worse. And you say, well, gosh, why is that? And female athletes, especially high-end female athletes.
Runners, a lot of distance runners, I've noticed.
Exactly. So running is an activity that's going to stimulate it already. Two, you're going to have a decreased blood flow in your intestines when you're running, so you're going to end up with cramping. And then three, hormone levels in runners that run competitively drop down. Decrease in hormone levels and that stress will cause someone who had borderline IBS to come out and flare up and to show into true IBS. So it's not uncommon for a female to say, gosh, I never had this problem until I started running. When it had underlying IBS, but when the body was stressed, it showed itself.
All right, we got to go lightning round on these or we're going to run out of time. Somebody on the show has accessories. This again is Sandberg's writing. I believe this might be allergies. Allergies. Who has allergies? Who has allergy problems? Andy Mazur admitting to the accessories.
I have accessories for my allergies.
Is it worse this year? I mean, my daughter Amy has had issues with this. I mean, is it worse than it's been in a while?
Yeah. So springtime allergies right now, trees have all popped, grass is starting to pop. So yeah, it's been bad. You know, you get a cool, wet spring, and of course you're going to get bad allergies. And they're going to go flare up. And you're going to start to see kids with asthma, you know, having a little bit more activity because of the allergies that are pumping up as well. Again, taking a good non-sedating antihistamine, Zyrtec, Allegra, any one of those is going to help a little bit, but you have to continue to take it. You can't wait till you have symptoms and then say, geez, now I'm going to take it.
And you can take it every day?
You can take it every day, absolutely. Okay. Most people, I tell them, before the trees start to pop, start your Allegra, start your Claritin, start your Flonase way before the allergies are even going to start.
Somebody on the show has high gland pressure.
maybe high blood pressure.
That's probably high blood pressure, yeah. Anybody want to admit to their high gland pressure? All right, nobody's admitting to it. It wasn't me. Who has high blood pressure? All right, nobody's admitting it. What do we do about the high blood pressure? Let me just cut it down to a question that I think most people are concerned about. If I have a high blood pressure spike, is there anything I can do about it quickly?
No, not really. I mean, unless you missed your medication, if you missed your dose of medication, go ahead and take it. You know, blood pressure will vary a little bit throughout the day. Someone with high blood pressure, hopefully you've gone to Walgreens or Jewel and purchased a at-home monitoring, blood pressure monitoring. They're very good. They're very accurate. It's good to know what your blood pressure is. The doctor will put you on medication, but he's not there to test your blood pressure every day. So once you start a medication or change a dose of medication, go ahead and continue to check that. it's often you won't know when you have that spike of blood pressure. So you may check it and say, gosh, my blood pressure is 160 over 94. Write that down. And then see what it is over the next couple of days after taking your medicine. If it stays that high, you want to go back to the doctor's office and say, here's the medicine you put me on. Here's my blood pressure readings at home. Do we need to change something?
I've only got one more that I can actually read here, and I'm not sure that I have this right. It's got to be perimenopause, though this looks like paramena donuts or paramena doggy.
That was John DeCosta.
That's mine.
Yeah.
Okay, what is perimenopause?
Perimenopause is the time between where you have normal menstrual cycles and then when you essentially hit infertility, so menopause. And it's that time when it's there. It can be irregular cycles. You can have different discomforts. You know, this is when women talk about getting their hot flashes. This is when
this is Jake. This is Jake. This is producer Jake.
Now he's all subconscious.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the treatment for it, there's numerous treatments for it because this is the time in a woman's life when their hormone levels are changing. So sometimes the obstetrician, gynecologist will put you on hormones. Other people say, I don't want them, but the hot flashes are terrible. There are some medications. Neurontin is one that we can use for people who don't want to take hormone levels, or excuse me, that don't want to take hormones, but still want to get rid of some of the symptoms of perimenopause, the migraines and the hot flashes. So it's really a discussion with your doctor as far as, do I want to take the medication or hormone medication? Should I? And, you know, how bad are the side effects as you're going through this transition?
Lean into this microphone. Sandberg's here with me. Okay, this looks like KK nest swelling. Is that like when the Ku Klux Klan, is there's a nest of them and they're swelling to big numbers? What is this?
You nailed it. And go to the big story, please.
What is this? Tell me what this one is because I brought it up. This is knee swelling?
Yes.
All right, knee swelling, knee pain. We talked about that. And the last one, is that bloating?
Yes.
All right, and bloating. What do we do about bloating?
Well, bloating, again, probably goes right back with the irritable bowel. You can do a couple different things. You know, if you just
sorry, this handwriting is amazing to me.
Sometimes people say it's because of water retention, so you might want to talk to your physician about that. Other times it's intestinal, and really increasing the fiber in your diet will help get rid of that.
And then we all have fatigue. I guess sleep more?
Yeah, we'll talk about fatigue in a good segment because there's a lot of things about fatigue.
Oh, good.
Anything from diabetes, thyroid, a lot. And Mary wants to go to the big story.
Wow. You're afraid of her, too.
I am.
So does Jake, Doc Most.
Everybody on the show. And Jake, good luck with that perimenopause.
I'm just really worried about the side effects of that medication that
you
recommended.
You'll be fine. Part of the symptoms of perimenopause is you know, his paranoia. Doc, thank you very much, and thank you for translating the hieroglyphics.
We'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day.